eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Via phone today. It's all right.
Yeah, you know, you try to do a nice thing and be on a guy's podcast, and you're on his podcast, and he has you do it on a different platform than you usually do.
Yeah.
Now I can't open any applications on my laptop, so you got me via phone. I guess it's better than nothing. So.
Yeah, something screwed up on your laptop. That sucks.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
That's all.
Super Bowl this weekend. We always kind of look forward to seeing what's new with the big car commercials. And honestly, they were fine. It wasn't anything that was like a home run for me as far as the car commercials. There wasn't anything like a major announcement or anything that I can tell as well. Like everything that was up there was stuff we knew about. You know, like Kia EV9, the EV. I think I was surprised by anything is Kawasaki ran a commercial for their side by sides, and our buddy Steve Austin was in. It was kind of funny. It was the whole, it's their utility version of the side by side, and they played on this whole mullet thing, you know, just party in the front and or whatever it is, and then. You know, everything turned into a mullet, and then Steve pops up and he gets his mullet and he's doing his thing. And it was fun to see him in a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, you didn't see his post a while ago with the mullet. You didn't know that. You couldn't forecast that one.
Yeah, I did. I knew he would probably be doing something. I didn't know if it was going to be a Super Bowl commercial or not. But if you guys haven't seen it yet, you can go on YouTube and you can see the, I won't play the whole thing here because it's mostly just sound. On YouTube, you can find it. Kawasaki's 2024 big game ad. You'll see Steve Austin with hair. It's been a minute since we've seen him with hair. Both of you guys, actually.
We all used to have hair, you know.
Yeah. It's funny because when I go back and I see every once in a while, I see old photos of you playing football and then I go, oh, it's actually pretty surprising how much you and Gage looked so similar back then, because we've seen you in the ring and seen you on TV so much, you know, you know, with the Goldberg look that you know, prior to that I was like, oh, you look like Gage. Well, I guess Gage looks like you.
Yeah, I mean, I went through different iterations throughout the years, but I had a flowing locks of hair, I guess you would call it. Now Gage, it's funny because I had a mullet at the Falcons. I don't like recalling it, but but that's the cool thing. Is Gage has got one now, right? And he's rocking it like proudly. It's not a full mullet. We went to a, you know, living in this community, it being so veteran centric and so charity centric, it's a real different community. We went to a Special Olympics basketball game the other night.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was at the local rival high school. We have Bernie and Bernie champions. Well, Bernie, it was at their gymnasium. They had their basketball players there. They did a kind of like a partner deal. So one of the current basketball players would get together with one of the Special Olympic participants and they'd play. And one of the kids that played on Bernie had a mullet like to die for. It was
nice.
About 3 feet long in the back and completely short in the front. And I had him go up the gauge. He walks up the gauge and sticks his chest out, and he goes, "This is a real mullet." And so, yeah, it's you know, it's cyclical, man. Everything's coming back. I don't think I'm going to be growing one, and nor do I think Steve's actually going to be growing one.
I don't think Steve's growing one either.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's interesting what comes back around. But
man, yeah,
Super Bowl commercials. First and foremost, I got to say, obviously, I played for a couple different teams, and I played against every other team. So when a former team of mine is not in the Super Bowl, then I could care less, pretty much. And this one, to me, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't even remember the Super Bowl commercials that much because the game just didn't carry that much weight. I mean, I'm good friends with the GM of the 49ers.
Yeah.
You know, Lynch. I used to play against Lynch with Tampa Bay. Great kid, lives out in San Diego near PCG, my brother's restaurant. But I really didn't have a dog in the fight. So it's funny looking back on it. I don't remember. And usually you remember the car commercials. Obviously, we are where we are in the automotive world and the world right now in advertising. You know, these guys are pulling out of trade shows. They're pulling out of everything. So, you know, you kind of wonder what they're going to do with the Super Bowl. And, man, it really wasn't car-centric advertisement-wise.
Yeah, there was only a handful. Usually they've got quite a bit more, and there's a little bit more leading up to it. And, you know, Tammy works on the agency side. So, you know, the car companies that she works with, they usually get kind of the heads up so they can run the analytics and do all the stuff with it. And she's just like, she's like, my brands don't have anything out this year. She's like, we had it last year. We don't have this year. And you're right. Admittedly, I'm not a huge football fan, but I always go to, you know, a Super Bowl party and hang out with friends and eat the food and have a couple of bravagos and
nice one.
I bring it. I bring it for everybody. Everybody can jump in and join some of the bravago. And we were running a little late, and we were getting there almost to halftime, and I was like, check the score just to see what's going on. And it was like 3-0. I go, I don't know enough about football, but that sounds like a boring first half to me if there's not much else going on.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, man. I mean, I obviously am a football player, and I live, breathe, and eat football and die football. But I'm a defensive guy, so a 3-0 game at halftime for me would be awesome if I cared about the two teams.
Yeah.
Now, okay. I mean, there's just, you know, there's just so much that went into it. I mean, it's the Taylor Swift Bowl. More people are talking about Taylor Swift than they're actually talking about the game, right?
Yeah.
So
it kind of like I think just leave the poor girl alone. She's just there trying to hang out with her friends and family and see her boyfriend play. And it's just like, God, geez, cut her some fucking slack.
Well, 100%, you know, but as long as she doesn't make a spectacle of being there, that's all.
Yeah, she didn't do anything wrong.
No,
as far as I can
absolutely
see.
Anyway. I don't put anything on her at all. I mean, hey, good for her to good for Kel, good for both of them to,
yeah,
at the end of the day, find somebody that they care about. I mean, it just so happens to be Taylor Swift. It is what it is.
That's right. I mean, they should drink more Bravago on camera, but aside from that, everything's fine. Anyway, you guys should pop online, see Steve Austin's Kawasaki commercial. Send him a nice little shout out on his social media. He's a social media guy. He sees a lot of that stuff. And it's funny. It was the only one that I thought was actually kind of really had a sense of humor to it, and to play it up to, you know, the idea of what they were doing with the product and everything like that. So
the only one I remember,
you know, the other thing that I don't know that we got into before was the new Mustang. You know, I've driven the 24 Mustang, the GT and the EcoBoost, but I had the Dark Horse sent over, and I got to spend some time in the Dark Horse now. So, some thoughts on the Dark Horse. First of all, yes, there's lots of comments online of people going, it looks like a Camaro, it looks like the Camaro, nice Camaro, and I get all the jokes and stuff for it. And I I can definitely see that. I can definitely see there's some bits to it and stuff that look like the Camaro. The rear fenders for sure have that little bit of style to it, but the back ends up looking more like the Mustang. Honestly, it's a great car, and the Dark Horse with 500 horsepower sounds good, hauls butt. It's there. I kind of agree that some of the exterior styling for me doesn't really do it for me. And then all the blacked out stuff on the grill, I'm not a huge fan of that. And that's an easy thing. You can paint it, you can wrap it, you can get, you can do different things. And the striping on the hood and stuff. I would like to have seen the Dark Horse just kind of in plain, if you will, as far as paint and graphics. But it's still a cool car to drive. Now the interior is where we get to see a lot of the changes. Now we have the two big screens up there. And honestly, I didn't mind it. I know some people probably feel like it's getting a little too modern. It's taking away some of the sports car feel to it, but it's got this kind of gamification to it. You can load up the image of the car and you can spin it around and you can load in the Fox Body Mustang gauges. That was kind of fun. And I did that a few times. The one that I drove was with an automatic, and it's nice. It's smooth. It's great. I didn't drive a Dark Horse with a manual. I drove the other cars with a manual. I didn't feel like the manual in the other cars was as smooth as the manual in my Mustang Mach 1, because I've got the Tremec transmission in it. And I know it handles more power as well, which is fine if you go to modifying it. But the interior of this car, I thought was great. I thought they did a great job on it. It has the charging pad for your phone and stuff in there now. And it just has, I just think it's dialed in a little bit better. But is it better than my Mustang Mach 1? I'm not necessarily seeing that. I like the look of the previous gen Mustang. My Mach 1 in particular, I've modified a little bit. The other thing is the Recaro seats. This one had the Recaro seats. And I've said this many times before about the Recaro seats. Although they are fine, not all seats fit all people. And I can't get comfortable in the Recaro seats. The side bolsters kind of push pushes my shoulders forward a little bit more. And I just can't really get as comfortable in the Recaro seat. And when I got my Mach 1, it has the regular seats that are heated and cooled, full power seats. And my thought was, when I got the car, was if I wanted to do a track day and get a racier seat, it's easy to put a race seat in there. But if you got the Recaros and want to go to the other direction, good luck trying to add like power seats with heat and cooling and all that. So I just went with what I thought was the nicer seat, knowing that I could put some racing seat that's more comfortable for me. And I got used to these seats after a bit, but then when I parked this and gave it back and then got back into my Mustang, I was like, I just liked my seats better. Maybe for a bigger guy or something, it's fine, but it's going to be a little snug around the waist. So it really could, I guess it depends on how you're going to use the car. I would say the seats for sure are something that you do want to test out in person before you get ahead of yourself, like ordering the car with all of the options and getting the Recaros. Make sure you like the Recaros, or make sure you like the standard seats. It's just one of those things that you're going to have to live with it pretty much if you don't like it.
Well, yeah, that, and I would imagine it's a pretty penny to replace, whatever.
Yeah,
you didn't choose in the beginning. So
yeah, and you're going to be into it for a couple of grand, depending on the seat options. The new engine that I've said before, going to the dual throttle body setup creates some symmetry in the engine compartment, and it looks so much better that way. I'd love to see this Gen 4 Coyote engine in the aftermarket. I think a lot of builders that do Coyote swaps are like, jeez, this is so much nicer. Because the Coyote engine, although a cool engine, is not really that good looking of an engine, especially when you put it into it, you know, a hot rod of sorts. But I thought this has a much cooler look to it with the dual throttle bodies. And I think you can end up doing some pretty cool stuff with it in the aftermarket. But is it better than my Walk One? I'm not necessarily. I think the design of my car, and when I say the Mach 1, because that's the one that I have, but I just mean the GT and the Mustangs in general. The stuff that I've done on mine, obviously I personalized it and did whatever on it, but I don't know. I kind of like the design of the previous gen version. This doesn't have quite as much black and stuff on the front, and I just think it looks a little bit more like a Mustang than what was there before. Yeah, it's the turbos.
Well, yeah. coming from a non-Mustang guy,
yeah,
I must completely 1,000,000% agree with you with what you just said.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, because it looks a little more like a Mustang, right?
And I disagree with you in that it does look like a Camaro, like completely. I saw one, and I didn't know what it was, and I thought it was a Camaro, just altered.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen them enough, obviously. But
yeah, the new ones,
you know, through the new ones, the last generation most definitely looks like a Mustang. I don't think this one does. So, if anything, you know, take performance out of it, take comfort out of it, take aesthetic out of it, or not aesthetic out of it, because it's all aesthetic.
I think I got a sound of the. I don't know if you guys can hear this here when we fired it up with the Magnaflow. Yeah, so I don't know if that's coming through.
It's an electric car?
No, it's not. Wait, hold on. Maybe I got it here. Oops. You'll hear those turbos whistle a little.
Not really.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if it's coming through the sound on the on the recording or not. We were just doing it on the screen on YouTube. So, yeah, I just I'm a fan of the new Mustang. I think it's been refined and dialed in a little better. It's a little more comfortable. It's a little smoother. The Dark Horse especially makes great power. I got a chance to use that drift brake option at Irwindale Speedway, and that was kind of fun to play around with that. So it's nice. Now, it's definitely smoother than my car because we did some suspension modifications and we got it lowered a little bit. You're going to sacrifice a little bit of comfort when you do that, when you lower it a little bit. But, you know, look, it's what I wanted. It's what I wanted to build. I had a lot of fun building it, and I do drive it. I've been driving it the past couple of months because the still backordered tires on the truck that I was looking for. So that's been sitting up on jack stands for weeks. But anyway, I thought it was just kind of a if we didn't get a chance to touch on that yet, I wanted to touch on that. BMW, speaking of manual transmissions, BMW is saying they're going to end up getting rid of the manual transmission. This has kind of been out there with a lot of the car companies for a while, but now that they're starting to plan whatever the future models are, they're just saying there's just not enough people ordering the manual transmission for them to justify the cost of doing the development and putting those transmissions in there.
Shame on them.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It takes the fun out of it, but I don't know. Maybe it's like a little bit on the customer. It's a little bit on us as enthusiasts going, if we bought more manual transmissions,
and then they'd be building them. It's supply and demand.
And for a long time, they were saying in the M cars, they were going to keep them. But now they're just saying it just doesn't make financial sense. You know, the Mustang that we were talking about continues to have the manual transmission as an option. But that platform has been revised, but it's been around for a long time. It's just been revised over the years. So there's not a lot of development into putting a manual transmission, excuse me, into a 2024 Mustang because it's already been in there in the previous ones. And there's not a lot of difference in the architecture of that car. You know, they've dialed it in a little bit better, but that's about it. Yeah, it's just a function of less demand. And for sure, look at where our automatic transmissions are now versus even just, you know, 15 or 20 years ago. They're so much better. They shift so much quicker. They're so much smoother. They're so much stronger. They're, you know, I mean, you have both options in the Dodge lineup out there between the Chargers and the Challengers, the manuals and the autos.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know, man. My situation is completely different. I'm not the normal driver. I have the luxury of having a couple different options.
Yeah.
But they both carry a lot of advantages. As far as if I had to get rid of one and just function with one, yeah, I'd go with the automatic. I mean,
that's the thing is as a daily driver, you're just jumping into it. Yeah. You jump into it and you're running errands or going to the, you know, like you said, to an event or with the kids and you know, Gage and his friends, it's so much easier to just jump in with the automatic. And a lot of people are feeling that way, but.
It's completely mindless.
Yeah.
Cause you have to, you know, you have to be so much more attentive when you're shifting gears, right? Manually. Yeah. So, yeah, it's turned out to be a luxury at this point, and soon it's going to be extinct. So, I mean, I get the reasoning 100%. I completely agree with it. But as an enthusiast, I'm always going to, you know, scream and yell for the manual transmission.
Yes, of course. And on certain cars, we'd always want that option and having that option being taken away or just not making financial sense. Yeah, it kind of it's a bummer for us, right? It makes us feel sad about it. But also, you know, there was a time in the past where the manual transmission cars were getting better gas mileage. The manual transmission cars were faster and better performing cars. And now the automatic cars seem to be faster and better gas mileage and all
that. Absolutely.
You know, it's now that it's kind of surpassed what the manual transmission was in those regards, performance regards, now it's just the fun factor. And if you are having one car in your lineup and you have one car you're going to drive, yeah, I kind of see the automatic transmission just being the easier way to go, and the performance is there. That Dark Horse was an automatic, and I would have liked to have tried the manual, but I've been driving my car for the past couple of weeks and it's a manual. It was kind of nice getting into that thing and not having to worry
Absolutely.
About it.
They both have distinct advantages, no question,
and I didn't feel like it was slower or anything. It just
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know,
just a completely different feel. You know, that's all it is. It's a completely different feeling going banging through the gears of a car, as opposed to, you know, letting the unbelievable advancement in technology, you know, jettison you through the gears, like what's going on nowadays, with ease, without, you know, worrying about it. So, yeah. I mean, once the automatic transmission started outperforming manuals, it wasn't an even playing field, so you can't really compare them anymore. And now that they're so much better, you know, it's kind of laborious driving some of these stick shifts, you know. I don't know, some cars are better set up to be an automatic. Yeah. Some cars are not. My 73 Super Duty Trans Am I would die for it to be a four speed. You know, it's an automatic and I don't like it. So in certain cars, it's a huge difference. In certain cars, automatic is a huge difference. But, you know, it's just driver preference at the end of the day. It's like shooter preference with a firearm.
Right. And we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the automatic for sure. And we're going to want it in certain cars.
You mean the manual?
I'm sorry. Yeah. And the manual. Yeah. The manual.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't want a Porsche. I don't want Wanda's 92 turbo to be an automatic. I mean, it would just completely take the fun out of that car for me. So,
yeah. And that's an example where the Porsche enthusiasts, I think there's enough Porsche enthusiasts that like the manual transmission that they can continue to invest money into having that available.
No question.
BMW was just one example of them going, we're just not getting enough, so we're out. Anyway, just kind
and
of
there, and there's a visceral experience when driving a manual transmission at speed and you're racing it compared to the same speed in an automatic. It's just not the same. It's just a complete, you know, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah. Leno is
imagine doing the Long Beach Grand Prix in an automatic, you know, Celica. I mean, it's just, it's just not the same.
The last thing I just want to touch on, and we'll keep it a little bit shorter, this week is, new Aston Martin Vantage. The Aston Martin Vantage is turning more and more into an interesting sports car, if you will. And they stepped up their game. So the revised version for 2025 is more power to start. It's got 153 horsepower over the previous version. It's 656 horsepower. 590 pound-feet of torque. It still comes from from the 4-liter twin turbo V8 that's built by AMG for them. Hopefully they caught up on all of the technology. Aston Martin had this weird arrangement with AMG and Mercedes where they would get these engines, but the electronics, the infotainment system and everything was outdated. So you get a brand new Aston Martin, you can't even plug a phone or anything into it. And they're like, yeah, that was the arrangement. But now that it's sort of caught up, I guess they're able to put the latest and greatest of stuff in there. You can get like CarPlay like this. I feel like that's been out for so long now that it was just a weird arrangement with them. The new car is 0-60 in 3.4 seconds, has a 202 mile an hour top speed. I think it looks good. It's the, you know, the grille is larger. It's beefier all around. The haunches in the back, the fenders, flares are wider all around. Again, as we were saying, I don't believe there's a manual transmission option. There's a ZF 8-speed transmission for it. You know, it's revisions on the interior as well, which look good. And this is not the flagship car. This is not the DB12. So it's just, it's interesting. I mean, they're really kind of going after 9/11, I guess you could say, going after.
It's a good looking car.
I've always been a fan. You know, when the Vantage came out, it had that big mouth grille. Not a lot of people loved it, and they've had to revise it over the years. And they have that optional front end that makes it look a little bit more like the DB. But this one now, but with the splitter around the front and the side skirts coming out, it changes the shape of that big mouth a little bit more. And it seems to fit the car a little better overall. And that's with the grille being larger. I think they said it's like 38% larger overall.
It doesn't evoke a feeling like the BMW grille did.
Yeah. Yeah. And the profile is great. The ducktail spoiler of it is great. It's cool, right?
Absolutely. I think it's a beautiful car.
Yeah. Now, can you fit in it? That's the question.
No, there's no way I could fit in it. I remember the story. Story goes, I walk into Beverly Imports or whatever the hell it was in Beverly Hills when I wanted my first Ferrari. And I First car I got in was the 911, and I loved it. It was huge comparatively. Then I got into, I got in Janet Jackson's Aston Martin, and okay. it was my first pick, 1,000%, even over the Ferrari. But I couldn't even. It was smaller than the Viper. It was freaking small.
Yeah.
So my option of buying an Aston Martin went out the window with that one. So yeah, I wouldn't imagine it to be much larger.
Yeah, and these are a little more snug than the 12 cylinder cars as well. So, you know, it looks good. I think that car will do well. I don't remember what the price point is on it now. I think it's pretty much on par with what it was before. I don't know that they've announced it yet, but yeah, seems kind of cool. What else is going on? You got things happening in the garage before we wrapped up. I know the Cobra project is that been shipped out?
Where do I begin? First and foremost, we're finally getting the Barrett Jackson video edited finally, because we didn't have our camera guys for the Goldberg's Garage. So we're going to put it out Friday. And then we did the GTX, the 68 hardtop GTX last week, which was a flipping rip.
Yeah.
Such a fun drive in that car, man. It's been sitting for like 13 years. It's only literally the second time I've taken it out off the property in 15 years. And the thing, I mean, 444 speed original car, yeah. it was awesome. And then, yes, we loaded up the Cobra. We pulled the Cobra body off, loaded it up, took it to a fabricator, and we're doing some fiberglass work on it. It's going to get resprayed. Then we're going to pick it up again, and it heads over to Expel. Expel's going to do their thing. And then we've got an update video going on YouTube next week. But your buddies at Dakota Digital hooked us up.
Yeah, nice.
And I should be getting that next week. We got a carbon fiber dash being cut by Savaggio. Got all the gauges from Dakota. Then Be Cool's jumped on board. Bear Brakes has jumped on board. We've made a decision, I think, with the rear end, with the rear suspension. Where are we? Kirkland 15-inch knockoffs, and then the Goodyears. We're going with those. We're sending all the parts out to be powder coated in 2 days. And so, yeah, man, it's all coming together. It's
what did you guys decide on the rear end? What are you going to put in the? What's going to be the
short suspension? Rear. I don't know. The Pumpkin, we're, you know, it's got a Dana 44 in it.
Okay.
I don't know, Ford 9-inch or something. I don't know exactly what we're going to go with. I don't know the gear ratio or anything like that. We got to check with the axle splines and make sure everything's kosher from part to part. But I know I don't want to go with the inboard brake system.
Yeah.
I'm going to be popping a lot more horsepower. It's not that that's the main issue. I don't like the look at all. And it limits you, you know, as far as the rear tire and the rear wheel. So.
Yeah. And I get it. You're bringing some of that weight on the inside and stuff, and then opening up what, you know, the unsprung weight, but I never really liked the design of it. It never really matched for me. And I've seen a bunch of the hot rods in the day that do that kind of stuff. And it works on some vehicles. It just wasn't for me. I just never really liked that style.
What I'm trying to do is I'm looking at high-end Cobra builds and seeing what they're doing, seeing what Superformance is doing, seeing what Shelby America's doing, seeing what everyone's doing and what they've done throughout the past 15 years. And I don't want to reinvent the wheel by any stretch, but we're on our way, man. It's going to become a reality here pretty soon.
The GTX that you drove, is that the one you were talking about doing a deal with Warman on swapping with Warman?
Yeah, it was so tough to take that car out and drive it because now I love it. And,
yeah.
But I just really appreciate the fact that it's a survivor and I can just go in and then two cranks, it freaking starts up and it bangs right through the gears. No issues. I changed the fuel tank on it last week. That was easy as hell. I couldn't believe it. Other than wearing, you know, bad gas all over my back. It was an easy process, but let's see. We did the fuel pump. We did the master cylinder. We did the fuel tank. We did some of the fuel lines. I installed the headlights. I made it roadworthy, yeah. You know, and we went out and had fun with it, man. Yesterday we took the Biscayne out and we shot the Biscayne, and man,
that's the black car, right?
Oh yeah. What a dream that thing was, you know?
Yeah. I remember seeing that car back out here, in California. The Biscayne's a badass car.
It's amazing how much better it drove with, 32 pounds of air in the tires as opposed to 12 what it was sitting on. Yeah. I was like, why is this thing driving like a swish mobile?
But yeah,
it's just, you know, so many different things going on, man. But that thing was, it's a pleasure to drive. I'd love to drop a LS in it and put a 6-speed, and you know, but I mean, I'm killing them, bastardizing the original car.
You wouldn't just do it. Just find a shell of something and then do a build based off of that. I know it would, you'd sit down with someone like Salvaggio and the wheels would be spinning and then turn into like what kind of, put a little bit of your flair and his flair into like a Biscayne.
Well, I've already thought about taking that car to the Martin Brothers. They're right up the road and they're an hour and a half away. They're specialists at that car, you know, 59 Impala. It's a 59, you know, Biscayne. It's the same car, but, I don't know. I don't know. It's just tough to be able to literally jump in a 1959 sedan that weighs 3,500 pounds and, you know, literally on the first turn of the key, have it start and go out and be very dependable. Doesn't overheat. The car is awesome. It was fun banging through a 4-speed with the shift knob about that big.
Yeah, around. Right.
It's just ridiculous, but it's so much fun. And again, it is an explanation and a definition of why we do what we do. You know, the big glass in the front in those 59s, those early models. It's conducive to having driving being a scenic experience.
Yeah.
You know, going through the hills and having fun and relaxing and not worrying about how fast you get from point A to point B. At the end of the day, that's why I like all these cars, because they evoke a cool feeling of back in the day. So, It was just fun. It was a lot of fun, and it reminds me why I love these things so much.
I mean, it's exciting to see all of this come together. What I mean is like 4 years into Goldberg's Garage, getting that built. And then once it's built, you guys jumped in right away. But, you know, you full bore, you guys went into and I forgot your guy's name, the mechanic over there.
Jackson. And you know, it's... we went into it with the wrong idea in the beginning. We went into it because we see everybody capitalizing on the medium of YouTube, right? And we went into it just to try to put a product out there really quick and not really think it through and not really do it for the right reasons. But after yesterday, when we kind of finally fell into a groove after 3 months of filming, of comfort level and enjoyment,
yeah,
you know, the second half of the afternoon yesterday, I've never laughed so much in my life in a car. It was so much fun. And Jackson and I got back here, and ironically, Jackson rode back here in the trunk of the car because we were talking about how big the trunks were in these old Biscaynes. And we sat down and we kind of, you know, decompressed. And we were smiling and going, you know what? That's what it's all about. We don't even care anymore about, don't get me wrong, everybody, because we're doing this not only because it's our love and it's fun, but we're also doing it to provide some entertainment, but it shouldn't be the sole reason why you're doing it. Right. So we were trying so hard to be perfect at what we were doing. We lost the fun in actually doing what we're doing. And so we kind of backed off a little bit and we found our groove, and man, it's a lot of fun now. Hell, I'm going to go do fiberglass work and I'm going to paint for the first time. And it's actually going to be on a car that I own. And that's terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's the learning process. I'm learning how to weld. I'm learning how to paint. I'm learning how to do fiberglass work. I'm doing how, you know, I'm learning how to do a lot of stuff that I've talked about for years, and now it's active participation as opposed to just talking about it. And it's so much, it's like therapy, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then having it there, having it basically on the property that you can walk to work every day.
I don't leave my property. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Even yesterday when, you know, we go to film and there's no water in the garage, right? And I've got to wash every car before I film because I want to present a good product, right? And so I get up here. We start filming at 10:30. I get up here at 7, try to figure out what the hell's going on with the water. Well, you know who Presley is? Remember Presley?
No.
Presley is the deer that loves this garage. So I find Presley out there who's made a home right where the irrigation is, and she smashed the irrigation, therefore draining part of the tank, shutting off the water to the garage.
Yeah.
And so I'm scrambling. I have all the parts to fix it. I fix it. Boom. The water's back on at the garage. It's 9 o'clock. I got an hour and a half to wash the car and get everything ready. And, you know, but I don't have to leave the property.
Yeah.
And, you know, we left the property to drive the car to a drive-in to be good content for the period correct stuff that we were doing. Right. But other than that, man, it's just, it's fabulous. It's a dream come true. It's been such a nightmare, as you guys well know, because I bitched about it for 4 years, but now I'm actually enjoying it and it's so much fun. And my wife misses me because I'm not at the house anymore, but
yeah, at least she knows where to find you.
There's so much to do. The other night, you know, well, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Jackson and I finished up the X mod on the red eye. You know,
yeah.
Richard was nice enough to, Richard was nice enough to send us an X mod for the 219 triple nickel red eye. It's one of the cars that I have that doesn't have the exhaust on it. And as opposed to waiting for Richard to come out, which would have been terrific content, I just came out here with Jackson and we did it.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. It was a pain in the ass because I've never done one before, and you live and learn. But, you know, it was awesome and it was rewarding, and to hear the before and after, you know, I mean, it's fun, man. So thank you for noting that I'm actually enjoying my space now, but it's only just begun, man. We're going to do so much stuff here and it's so much fun and I don't have to leave.
Yeah, that's good. For those of you guys that watch it, watch the podcast now on YouTube, you know, we'll put the link up to Goldberg's Garage YouTube channel as well. And I'm looking forward to, I'm can't wait to get out there too. I'm going to wait for the weather.
You
got to
get out
a little
here.
Bit.
Maybe we figure it out when Waitis comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. You when know? Richard goes out. Richard's going to scrutinize your exhaust install and make sure the tips are perfect and they're, you know,
he can do that all he wants as long as when he comes out, because Richard's coming out and he's fabricating a custom exhaust for the, or custom side pipes for the Cobra.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that'll be sweet.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get back to it. We're going to, we got stuff to do. Got stuff to do. So we're going to let you guys go. Thanks, guys, as usual, for listening and now for watching up on YouTube. We'll catch you next week. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.